The following program is brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and the views and opinions may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station.
Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Amtrak is bringing back service. American Airlines stops furloughs, but hotels keep falling. Now it's the Fairmont San Jose that is closed. Details next.
Travelers United has what we think is a pretty solid, simple way to protect travelers' basic rights when flying, but guess who's really against it? Well, if you said it, the airlines, well, you'd be right. The story explained as we make you a smarter traveler at 3:20.
You can't travel overseas yet, but it's likely you will be able to soon. Steve Perillo, owner of popular Perillo Tours, joins us at 3:35 to talk tours to Italy and tell us a bit about one of the world's oldest and most respected tour companies.
In a bizarre travel story, which broke this past week, it involves a man who spent years in prison, in large part because Hertz refused to turn over documents which would have proved the man's innocent. That story and an update on vaccines and travel at 3:50.
The sun is shining brighter for travelers. We are off on another Sunday afternoon journey right here on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Hey there, my friends. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys with Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Listening to those song hooks and our little intro music, you know, Willie says it says it best, you know, on the road again. Just can't wait to be on the road again.
Yep.
Good to see you, Mark. How's things there at Sports Leisure Vacations?
Things are a lot different than they were just a few days ago. The travelers have decided, some of them, that you can get back out in the world. I see spring break travelers have thrown off the masks and thrown caution to the wind, and they're just going to go wherever they want and do whatever they want. And, of course, folks in Texas have decided to take their own path, except for the city of Austin. But we see it all over the country as the COVID numbers have fallen very dramatically. Things are opening back up, and that allows people to move around, and people who want to travel have been sitting at home for a year now, and some of them are customers of my tour company. And by golly, they just started showing up on the telephone in mass last week. We sent out a newsletter that updated them, and while we only have a limited amount of trips going for the next few months, people were quick to snatch up the few spaces that were available on them. And so the summer looks, there's still space in the summer and things look much brighter. So those of us who are in the travel business or the hospitality business or any, you know, related, I don't care if you work at a service station where people are not buying gas or a hotel or a restaurant, or just a dry cleaner's down the street that gets most of its business from the hotels in town and has no business now. There are a lot of people who would love to see one out of every 10 jobs in the country is tied directly or indirectly to tourism. So it would be a good thing for the economy if that got going. And for those of us in the travel business, it would be an even better thing. And for those who like to travel, touchdown.
There you go. A question for someone who, you know, arranges travel and it's coming back. You've got people calling, wanting to go places. And as we were talking earlier, you've got now more demand than you have supply.
Yeah.
When you make calls and you start to arrange a trip, even if it's just, you know, over the hill into Nevada and so forth, what looks different compared to what it was like before?
It's still very hard to get a hold of people because many attractions have, you know, some attractions closed a year ago. and have never reopened, and but are planning on reopening. They're just waiting for the time when it's safe. Some of these small town attractions are run by volunteers, and they're not going to reopen until the volunteers feel comfortable about facing the public, or until they've themselves have been vaccinated. I mean, we like to go to lots of off the beaten track places where the people in charge are not, you know, necessarily full-time professional hospitality people. So it's and plus someone has to clean the rooms and someone has to serve the meals. And as we've talked many times on this program since this started, to try to keep the awareness about the job that those people do a little bit in front of the public, those are the people who do kind of the thankless jobs. They're thankless jobs whether there's, you know, COVID or not. They clean the toilets and make things good for us and wipe down the tables and make sure that it's all up to snuff. And they do that every day, nonstop, 365 days a year. And that's what it allows many of us to travel and enjoy some of the things, the small luxuries or the big luxuries, depending on your wallet, that travel brings. And also the education that travel brings. And I think, you know, Tom, for the people who are really true travelers, that's the part of this that we all miss the most, is the joy of discovery, the joy of going some wonderful place and finding something new or meeting somebody interesting. And it doesn't have to be the Statue of Liberty or an ex-president that you're meeting. It can just be somebody interesting who has a story. And the country is full of people who have a story. But you got to go out there and you have to find them and maybe ask them what their story is. Or wait for a clue. And so that's what we all, those of us who like to do that, we can't wait for the opportunity to get back on the road. So the fact that things are looking a little better, I still caution folks that, you know, if you're going to hit the road in the next couple, 3 months, whether you're vaccinated or not, act like you haven't been, wear a mask, protect yourself, protect other people around you, wash your hands, don't carry the virus from point A to point B just because you're a little better protected. And that's my lecture for today.
There you go. All right. Thank you very much. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK, the top of every Travel Guys radio show or thereabouts. We bring you up to date on the travel. Right on cue, here's Mark with the travel news.
Thank you, Tom and Luis. Hey, for baseball fans, the baseball season is about to start. I've been spending the whole day with spring training games in the background. A new baseball-themed hotel is opening in Denver, downtown Denver, March the 25th. It's called the Rally Hotel. It is within a walking distance, of course, of the ballpark. 182-room boutique hotel with a rooftop pool and deck overlooking Coors Field and the Rocky Mountains. So, you know, I mean, there's a great view in San Francisco of the bay and all that from the ballpark, but sounds like the folks in Denver. So, psst, to all the people who go
nice,
to...
It's a nice, nice stadium.
To all the people who go to ball games with me, we'll be looking into this right away and seeing if we can get to Denver and check that all out. Hilton is going to offer COVID-19 tests to guests of events at Hilton hotels. What that means is that Hilton is trying to get convention and small meeting business back by saying, look, we will set up COVID-19 instant testing for guests as a part of what you do here. Interestingly enough, you read this whole article from our friends at Travel Pulse. It doesn't say who might be going to pay for this, but I'm guessing that if Hilton is paying for it, it's built into what you're paying for your convention space. And if you're paying for it, why then you're paying for it. Alaska Airlines, couple of stories. Passenger arrested for urinating in seat, pushing flight attendant. You know, this is the deal, folks. If you drink too much and you get on an airplane and you do something that you would never have done if you hadn't been drinking too much or imbibing and whatever, and you get up in the sky and you do something bad, your life is going to get really complicated. This 24-year-old man who was on an Alaska Airlines flight decided that he needed to relieve himself. And he had a plastic bag, apparently, but it was not, you know, I mean, he did it like in the aisleway in front of everybody else. And to complicate matters, the airplane had an emergency during, they were in a storm, they had an emergency. The flight crew was trying to get people situated and take care of the emergency, and this guy is acting up, and so now they have to take care of him. And instead of being concerned about the safety of customers, they have to worry about an ignoramus who got on the plane drunk. This gentleman faces prison of up to 20 years and can be fined up to $250,000. So all my only suggestion to you is that if you have a death wish, go for it. But if you don't, an airplane is a terrible place to get drunk and make a fool of yourself. There are lots cheaper and better places if you're hell-bent on doing that. Speaking of Alaska Airlines, they've announced some new routes for the summer. There will be increased service between Sacramento and Boise if you are a Boise fan. And speaking of passengers who can't behave themselves on airplanes, the FAA has proposed a $14,000 penalty against a passenger who was interfering with flight attendants on a JetBlue flight last year. Crews told him to wear a face mask and stop consuming alcohol that he had brought himself on the plane, which, of course, is not legal. Stop me if this sounds anything like the story we were just talking about. Somebody on a plane who drank too much and got out of control. He got rowdy. They had to turn around, take the plane back. The plane had to land. They couldn't drop the fuel, so the plane had to land with 4,000 pounds of fuel, which is a very dangerous operation. And so the man literally put all the other people on the plane in serious safety jeopardy by his foolish actions. I think I'm just trying to make a point here about drinking on airplanes. Amtrak is bringing back some of the long-distance service, including going back to daily service on the California Zephyr. So if you want to take the train to Chicago across the plains and through the Sierra Nevada and the Rockies in the middle of the winter, what a great idea that would be. Now you will be able to do it every day. Amtrak is bringing back not only the Zephyr, but many of their other long-distance trains. No word yet on when the California Corridor trains will increase in service, but my guess that will be fairly soon. We mentioned in the headlines that some of the hotels around the country are having some trouble. Two iconic Cleveland hotels have shut down, the 484-room Westin in downtown Cleveland, which is kind of the centerpiece of the city, has shut down. The 600-room Hilton Cleveland downtown is about to shut down. The Fairmont in San Jose, the largest hotel in the Silicon Valley, and really if you've ever been to San Jose, it's a gorgeous hotel in downtown San Jose, and it's really it's iconic. I mean, it's the centerpiece of the city. It's where the Christmas celebration is. The Tech Museum is down the street. It shut its doors last Friday and filed for bankruptcy. They were running at an average of 7% occupancy. They're going to lose $20 million this year. They lost $18 last year. That's $38 million. The city is hopeful that the property may reopen in several months with new management and a brand new flag, but that is not a given. Remember this last summer, all of the airlines were mortgaging their frequent flyer programs in order to get more money to operate. American Airlines has taken out a second mortgage on their frequent flyer program, raised about $10 billion with a B to help them pay their bills and keep running. And it might not be a good time to start a new airline, but don't tell this to the guy who started JetBlue a number of years ago. He's off. David Neeleman is trying to start another new airline called Breeze Airways. He's got a long way to go, but we'll see what happens. Breeze Airways. And that is your travel news for today.
And if you're just joining us, we are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. You can follow along with links to our special guests and interviews at TravelGuysRadio.com, along with a whole bunch of other fun stuff on the website, including an opportunity for you, if you got a question for the Travel Guys, to throw it our way. We'll see if we can answer it on the air when we do the mailbag. All right, coming up after a couple of minute timeout, simple way to protect travelers' basic rights when you're flying. We got that for you next here on the Travel Guys.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Hey there, everybody. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Kind of an overcast Sunday. Guess we're going to get a little rain tonight and be gone by tomorrow. So, you know, not too bad. So, Mark.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well, you know how much I love lists. And the folks
you got
at
a list for?
Yeah, the folks at Wallet Hub. I have a list here. Did you know that March the 20th is the day International Day of Happiness?
All right.
Yeah, so
International
just
Day of
walk
Happiness.
Out on the street and find the first person that looks good to you and just grab them and give them a big old wet kiss on the lips and say, today is the International Day. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, no, maybe not.
perhaps that would be the best thing to do. But anyway, it's the International Day of Happiness. That will be next Saturday.
Okay, well, I'm going to make a note.
Uh-huh. And so the folks at Wallet Hub, of course, have done a survey and figured out of 180 of the largest U.S. cities with 31 key indicators of happiness, what are the happiest cities in America? And number one, we could be here all day into the night tomorrow and till next Sunday's broadcast, and you wouldn't guess this one. Number one happiest city in America, Fremont, California. Number two and number three, now just tell me how this makes any sense, because these people only see the sun and don't have the ground covered with snow for about 20 minutes a year, Bismarck, North Dakota, and Fargo, North Dakota. Okay. Madison, Wisconsin, San Jose, California's fifth, Burlington, Vermont, Lincoln, Nebraska, Columbia, Maryland, Cedar Rapids, Santa Rosa, California round out the top 10. Irvine, San Francisco are in the top 20. Sacramento is 57th out of 180. Now, so we're somewhat happy.
Okay. Well, you know, for this to mean anything,
uh-huh.
if you have the time,
uh-huh.
any kind of hint at the criteria that
yes.
went into.
Yes. 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 San Francisco, Oakland, and Fremont all have the lowest depression rate in the country, which is 2.5 times lower than Billings, Montana, the city with the highest depression rate. Now, I don't know why that is, but that's one of their criteria. Jersey City, New Jersey has the lowest number of suicides, which is one of their criteria. Casper, Wyoming has the highest. Fremont, California has the lowest separation and divorce rate, which means they have the most unhappy marriage. No, I mean, it means, never mind. 9.2%, which is 4.4 times lower than in Cleveland, the city with the highest separation and divorce rate. Burlington, Vermont, remember they were in the top 10, has the lowest share of adults sleeping less than 7 hours a night, which is 1.8 times lower than Detroit, the city with the highest number of people who don't get enough sleep at night. Cheyenne, Wyoming has the lowest average commute time, and New York City has the highest average commute time. As I mentioned, Sacramento is 57th on that list. I thought it was kind of fun to look at and see. Anyways, the main story in this segment is about how the Department of Transportation how Travelers United has come up with a way that Department of Transportation could make flying simpler for all of us. There are a few simple rights that a passenger has. There are probably quite a few, but there are a few simple, easy ones that Travelers United says, why don't we just post these at the airport in some pretty obvious places? And then there wouldn't be any, you wouldn't have to have any discussion as to, you know, what happened in these situations, because there would be the law right on the column there, right by the ticket check-in. And, of course, the airlines are like, well, on the surface, that seems why don't we talk about that at our next meeting? And that next meeting, I don't think we're going to be able to make that, so we'll let you know when we can have, you know, that's kind of the way the airlines look at any of these sorts of things. Here are the three basic travelers' rights. Whenever luggage is lost, damaged, or delayed, passengers are by regulation eligible for up to $3,500 per passenger in compensation for domestic flights and about $1,600 for international flights. Two, when a passenger is bumped off a flight, they are eligible for up to $1,350 in cash. Three, when international flights are delayed, passengers are eligible for compensation depending on the airline they are flying and their destination. Now, in Europe, the European Union has put these rights, their rights as they are translated to European countries, on posters in airports, much to the chagrin of airlines, because guess what? The airlines don't want you to know what your rights are when they're screwing you, because then you can stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, Right over there, it says that you can't do this. And so no surprise why they are not in favor of this. The airlines are the most anti-consumer group you have ever come across. They have the strongest lobby in Washington. They fight anything that comes up that benefits a consumer as quickly as they can. I mean, they're like a fire department. When the alarm comes in, they want to put it out while it's still a brush fire, before anybody knows it even started. So, I mean, those are three simple little things. If your luggage is lost or damaged, you're entitled to some compensation. If you're bumped off a flight, you're entitled to compensation, which might be in cash. And when your flight is delayed, especially an international flight, you're also entitled to compensation, depending on the circumstances. Why? Those things seem fairly innocuous.
Has it always been this way?
Yes, yes. Adversarial between airlines and passengers? Yes. Yeah. For the 40-plus years that I've been in business, which is, you know, half the time airlines have been flying commercially in the United States, yes. It's always been this way. The airlines are always – you ever watch The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
The airlines do not want you behind the curtain. That's pretty much what – they want you to see all the – fantastical stuff over here, but do not come over here behind the curtain, because that's where all the secrets are kept. So anyway, it's just something that would make a lot of sense. It seems like Travelers United has pointed it out. They're going to try to point it out to the Department of Transportation. Whether or not it goes anywhere or not is anybody's guess.
And give me a little 3x5 or a handful of them with all that on there, and just take it with me whenever I travel. All right, very good. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, bumming you out from time to time, but we are honest and truthful. All right, next up, we're going to be talking with Steve Perillo with Perillo Tours. Let's go to Italy soon. What do you say, folks? Next on the Travel Guys.
Come away with me.
Hello there, my friends. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. If you've ever thought of traveling to Italy, the name Perillo Tours should probably be the top of your list. Been experts in this field for a long, long time. Mark, we've got a very, very special Perillo on with us today. Would you introduce our special guest?
We do. Thank you, Tom. Steve Perillo is the president and owner of Perillo Tours, as you mentioned. He took over from his father. It's a third generation, and as we talked before the interview started here, sounds like the fourth generation might be just around the corner. And I notice here from Steve's biography that we are the exact same age, only born a few months apart. So, Steve, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you. Hi, Mark. Hi, Tom. Listen, I'm in a really good mood. I got my second shot last Sunday.
Yay.
So that would mean I'm going to be good to go next weekend, and I'm going to Sarasota to see my cousin, my first trip in a year. What do you think about that?
It's amazing, Steve. Here at our offices, we've just sent out an update to our 8,000 customers around the greater Sacramento area, and I can tell you that for 3 days, the phones have been ringing off the hook. So it's my staff has commented, normal has returned. People are asking about travel and asking normal questions. And so I wish the same for you. I'm sure the same thing is happening around the country, but there definitely has been a turn towards the fact that people may be able to travel safely in the very foreseeable future.
Yeah. You know, our specialty has been Italy for 75 years. My grandfather started a company in the Bronx, New York, in 1945. And Italy had a little turn, took two steps back just today. It's like completely locked down again. It's in red, red zone. They have yellow, orange, red. But you can't be that discouraged. They're having a slow, the vaccines are not rolling out that fast in Europe like they are here in this country. It's really doing well here with the vaccines. But by the summer, it's really going to turn the corner for the whole world, I'm hoping. Certainly, we're going to start selling 2022 Italy tours and customized vacations in June and July. We can start planning. We'll be happy to get deposits again. It's been a year since we got some money into this company. and so uh, it'll j- just it'll be fun to talk to the clients and plan the trips. I don't know. We're all it's springtime. It's going to be spring.
Steve, you all are Italy experts, but your company has expanded to do some other European destinations and indeed places like Costa Rica and Hawaii even.
Yes. We took a year off from Costa Rica, but Hawaii, we've been going there for 30 years. And we have a full-fledged tour of Hawaii. It's three islands, Oahu, Maui, and Kauai. And you figure, why do you need a tour? But you don't really. But it gets a little complicated because you have to do inter-island air and all the baggage handling. So it's a great package for a deluxe vacation or honeymoon. And then Spain is my new love. My nephew and I spent 2 years developing this deluxe Spain tour. A tour is a great way to vacation. It seems like it's regimented, but at the same time, it's free because you don't have to think about what your next thing's going to be, you know, where you're going to pick up your rental car, where your luggage is going to go. So it's liberating in that you do what we do, but you get to just think about what you're seeing and take your pictures and interact with the local people.
Steve, your tours, how many people at a time? I know Mark with his group, it just depends on where they're going. It could be as few as a dozen or as many as, you know, 20 plus. What size tours do you take to your different destinations? And since let's focus on maybe, you know, your Italy tours or the one you're thinking about for Spain and so forth.
The definition of a tour is usually 12 to 40 people these days. And the more people in the group, the cheaper the trip is because you're sharing the fixed costs with more people. So you can go from a private tour with a couple with a driver. It's $500 a day for the driver in the car. On a tour, it's $50 a day for a couple. So it's an amazing savings.
Nowadays, people are interested in doing things besides just looking when they tour, experiential tours. Do you find that to be the case? Perhaps food tours, you get to do a little cooking, that kind of thing. Are you into that?
Yes, very much so. There's cooking, language. There's some physical things like bicycle riding or renting a Vespa motor scooter. There's meeting local people, having dinner at their house. When we have small groups of 12, we could have a grandmother cook for the group. And really the big thing is cooking. Italian food is amazing. And more amazing is how easy it is to put together. A plate of pasta is three ingredients. You know what pasta is? It's flour and water. That's it. In general, there's usually no egg. That's it. And then if you have a good tomato, I mean a really good tomato, you have some olive oil, some garlic. This is a dream meal. And you learn how to make the pasta yourself. It's just flour and water. Mm-hmm. And you could whip up these meals when you get home in 20 minutes.
Would you say food is the most popular aspect of a trip to Italy?
It's the architecture. Art is probably number one. And then food is number two, the style of the people, the fact that they're laid back, they work to live, they don't live to work. Then we forget Italy has this huge fashion industry. They have this car industry that's unbelievable when you think of the Maserati, Ferrari, you know all the brands. What country has a car industry that's so special? And these are the experiences we offer, too. You know, you could test drive a Ferrari around a track. Where the Ferrari company is. Sometimes the wives will do a cooking class, and the men are doing driving. So it's just so much. The music of Italy, but the people love the sights, the history, and the food, for sure.
Yeah.
Steve, all of this, the whole situation over the last year has been well chronicled. Everybody has their favorite saying for these challenging times. If I never hear that the rest of my life, it'll be just fine with me. But tell me, what has Perlo Tours, where are you? Where are you headed? What can you tell people who might be listening who are thinking about a trip to Italy and are going to go to our website and click on the link to yours and get excited about going there? What would you tell them at this point that Perlo Tours is doing in order to, I mean, going overseas right now, is probably a little scary to some people. And that's how you make your living. So I'll let you have the floor for a minute or two. You tell folks what they need to know.
Yeah, you can't go now and you can't go in the next couple of months. But we make it very easy to book a trip and to get out of the trip. And I'm not going to have to say this for further than this fall. If the virus continues into the fall, you can make a booking into the fall, but you can cancel 30 days before the departure and get every penny of your money back or postpone it to the next year. Meanwhile, we're gearing up for next year, which we're all guaranteed to be a great travel year, 2022. And in a couple of months, by June 1st, you can book our trips next spring. I'm sorry to say it's April 2022, but we're going to have discounting, and they're going to roll out the red carpet, and you can start booking this June for next year, and that should be solid. So that's where we stand. You can book this fall. It may or may not go. We don't know yet, but certainly 2022, we're going to be sold out, I'm hoping. Right.
We're talking with Steve Perillo, the president and owner of Perillo Tours, probably Italy's, the tour operator for Italy. Steve, before I let you go, what's the most popular product that you sell in Italy? What's the one that just flies off the shelf?
It's still the two-week overall tour, and it's 2 weeks, so much for short vacations, even though they're still very popular. But the two-week Rome, Florence, Venice, Milan, and Sorrento, because people figure they're going anyway, why not go instead of 10 days, just go for the 2 weeks. So it's a great deal. It's around $4,000 a customer for the land and includes everything. And, you know, our hotels are better than ever. They're mostly deluxe. So that's what's selling, the 14-day Italy North Tour.
Steve, if you're interested in finding out some more about Perillo Tours and where they go and how they operate their company that's been around for three generations, you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. We'll have a link to their website there. Steve, really thank you for some of your time, and hope that maybe we might be able to check back with you as the year goes on and kind of see compare notes and see how things are going for both companies. Thank you again for your time.
Gladly. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Tom.
Oh, boy. Trip to Italy, five or six different locations, a deluxe room. You know, the only thing about that is when I hear the term deluxe room, it doesn't really sound very special.
You got to be, and you know what? When people start throwing around, deluxe and fancy and words like that,
premium.
You really want luxury. You really want them tied to some kind of a scale. This is why AAA for all these years. You know, a one diamond, a two diamond, a three diamond, a four diamond, a five diamond hotel. I mean, in most consumers' minds, they could point at five different hotels and tell you which category those people would fit into. I think some of these other words are kind of subjective, you know, and that's not to rag Perillo Tours. They have an excellent reputation for providing a good product.
Oh, yeah. I have a feeling if Steve says it's deluxe and so forth, I have a feeling that it's going to be way above average.
Yeah,
that's for
but
darn
just
sure.
Know that when you go to Europe and people talk about five-star hotels, the rating chart that they use in Europe is a little different than the one we use over here, and it's pretty common to find what you would consider a nice Best Western or, you know, a nice Hampton Inn, something in the mid-range that was in a good location and just was nice for its brand. And you'll find that to be a five-diamond hotel in Europe where it would have probably been a three-diamond hotel here. So just be careful because there are a lot of, quote, five-diamond or five-star properties in Europe. That phrase is thrown around much more loosely than it is here in the United States.
Can you imagine going back and having nothing but a AAA book with all the hotels and restaurants and all of them listed?
We've been around.
And doing that all again. I know that's what you did that.
We've been around for 42 years, and I have to tell you that for the first 20, 25 years we were in existence, the AAA books that they put out every year were our Bible. When they came out every August, we went down and got two sets of them.
and brought them back.
Absolutely.
And people in our office fought over, where did you put the California AAA book? You know, and so they were literally Bibles. And what they said frequently was at least the starting point for your decisions on hotels and attractions and restaurants and, oh, just, gosh, all kinds of things. There is a set of AAA books in our office now. You would probably have to go out and wipe the dust off them. I suspect no one has moved. No one has gotten one, and they're probably 7 or 8 years old because nobody goes and gets a new set of them every year anymore.
Right. And at the same time, besides the information about the hotels and the stars and all, the phone numbers, the ability to contact them, because back then when you were doing stuff, everything was on the phone. You had to call every single one. I digress. We are the Travel Guys. We got lots more to get to here. I'm really anxious to hear this next story, Mark, because I know nothing about this bizarre travel story that broke last week. Anyway, that's enough of a tease. Let's get to it. That's coming up next here on the Travel Guys.
Come away with me in the night.
Mark Hoffman singing Come Away With
Wouldn't
Me.
Wouldn't you go away with her? Leisure. I mean, yeah, it's a pretty nice voice.
Come away with me.
You got that right. Yeah. Sports Leisure Vacations, our sponsor. Mark Hoffman, the president and bookkeeper. If you want to come away with him.
On a good day.
Go to TravelGuysRadio.com. We got a link to his silly little company that takes people places. Uh-huh. How cool is that, huh?
Yeah. Is that what we do? I mean, that's we used to do that, but I just, you know, was wondering if that's what we still do. Actually, as I mentioned at the top of the program, really the interest in travel, if you haven't seen, I mean, the numbers at airports across the country were about half of 2019. We've now started to lap over 2020 numbers, which were, you know, falling dramatically, but about half as many people are traveling as would normally be traveling, and that was about 35% just about 3 weeks ago. So my guess is that we're going to see folks that I have in Los Angeles, St. Louis, and New York all reported to me last week that airline flights were very full. By the way, Delta Airlines has gotten in a little trouble this week because, you know, Delta had this thing where they said, we'll leave the middle seat open until the end of April. Well, they were trying to guess when business would come back, and they kind of guessed wrong. And so now people they're wanting to fill the planes. But just keep in mind that that was not like a nuclear promise. That's not something that you can dispute. If you go and you look, the way they worded that was, well, we're going to keep the middle seat open. But, you know, occasionally operational issues, i.e. greed, will get in the way of us being able to do that. And so sometimes you may not find that the middle seat is open, and their excuse might be, gee, we had a family. And the only way we could put them together was to utilize this middle seat. So you have a screaming four-year-old next to you for the next 5.5 hours from Atlanta or something like that. So it is possible to get on. We're now to where I believe it's only Delta who have promised to keep getting the middle seats open. But the fact of the matter is that when the planes are full and oversold, they're filling some of those seats. So if that's your expectation and you've say, well, I'm going to sue these people, just know that beforehand that they covered in the contract of carriage and you're not going to be able to sue them. Emirates Airlines has told their staff, Emirates, of course, is an international carrier, does not fly to Sacramento, flies to San Francisco, told their staff to get vaccinated or they would have to pay for their own COVID-19 tests every time before they flew. So this is the first airline. They're saying, look, we will pay for the tests. But we will pay for the vaccines. But if you don't want to get vaccinated, you have some reason for that, unless it's a medical issue, then you're going to have to get tested every time before you fly. So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing and leads us into kind of our closing story here, Tom, which is talking about vaccines and how really increasingly, practically on a daily basis, somebody else is stepping up and saying, you know, it just makes sense to just say only people who can be vaccinated. Broadway is talking about opening up in September, maybe a theater or two in July to kind of do a dry run and see how it goes. But, of course, theaters can't possibly run on 25 or 50 or even 75% capacity. They have to be able to put people in those old theaters in New York. You're shoulder to shoulder. I ain't sitting in a theater with somebody who hasn't been vaccinated. It's not going to happen. I mean, I'm just telling you, that's, and I don't think a lot of other people who would buy tickets would probably feel the same way. So I think that, I mean, how would you feel, Tom? Would you buy a ticket to spend $150 to go see a show on Broadway without knowing that the people around you were safe?
No, I would not.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So likely, the vaccine is going to be, we've talked about this before, is going to be your ticket. Now, here's the deal. In order for it to work for international travel and the like, we're going to have to get on the same page. So this is where the UN or other major companies, you know, the G8, the G7 without Russia, whatever group of people come together and say maybe it's a major tourism organization like Tourism Cares or one of the international groups like UNESCO or somebody who is the impetus towards saying, all right, here are some basic rules. You know, you have to have had the vaccination or you have to be tested or here are the different options and say, you know, is this something that everybody could live with? I think ultimately that's where we're going. And I think it's going to probably happen fairly quickly, because if we see any kind of a bounce from people taking their masks off and doing kind of things that are not really well advised, then the rest of us are probably going to say, you know what, we're not going to go through this anymore. And this is the way we're going to do it. So. You get a chance to get your shots. If you'd like to travel, get your shots because that's going to be your ticket. Undoubtedly, the vaccine card is going to be your ticket to go to a lot of places that not everyone can go to. Thomas?
Hey, do you have that bizarre travel story about the guy that
Hey, Thomas, this guy, Hertz Rent-A-Car. This man goes to jail. Turns out he rented a Hertz Rent-A-Car literally within minutes of when a 24-year-old man he was accused of killing was murdered. So Hertz, all they have to do is turn over these paperwork, and the man gets out of jail. He's been in jail 2 years. Hertz gets the request. They drag their feet for two more years. Once they turn in the request, it takes almost another year for the man to get out of jail. He spends almost 3 years in jail because Hertz wouldn't get off their butt and send in the paperwork. I mean, it's really kind of a sad story. CNN reported it. It's been all over the internet. He's suing Hertz. Good luck. Hertz is in bankruptcy, so he probably will never see anything. But literally, Hertz couldn't come up with the paperwork that showed the man had rented the car. And that's what caused him to remain in jail for almost three additional years. 1,700 days this man was incarcerated. So if you think bad things can't happen to you when it comes to paperwork with car rental companies, I got bad news for you.
Boy, I mean, yeah, don't look for them to be your alibi, you know, and produce those documents. That's crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's just about a wrap for today's show. If you missed some of it, you can go to travelguysradio.com. We'll have the podcasts there so you can listen to it again or go back and listen to one of our shows in the past. I recommend the Oregon show a few weeks ago. It's excellent. Let's see. Next week, Mark, what do we have? Some special guests in studio.
Well, we're going to bring some travel professionals in, have a round table, answer some of your mailbag questions, get their opinions, see where travel is headed. I think it's headed back up here in the next few months.
All right, my friends, stay well. We'll see you next week. Mark?
Stay well. Dance like nobody's watching. Thank you for listening, friends. We'll see you next week.